Miss Kay, thank you. You play so beautiful. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Jeremiah 26. You know, there's nothing that I can... There's been a lot of anticipation, a lot of nerves up until this day. And the more I sit here and think about God's Word, and the more I think about what it means to me and the songs we sing and everything that we go through on a daily basis, when I work with Lance and I work with a family, and how God's blessed me so many times already. And when I say blessed, I mean blessed. I'm thankful for each and every day of my life that He gives me. And it's an amazing thing that I have the opportunity to just stand in front of you. It truly is. It's a blessing is what it is. And it wells up inside of me is what it does. Now you can only imagine, I'm a bundle of nerves today. I really am. And I think you can understand that. I have a lot going through my head right now, but the more I thought about it this morning, this couldn't be God's better perfect timing for this plan. This couldn't be God's better perfect thing that He's laid right in front of me. Because let me tell you something, right now for us to be in the January Bible study and for me to already be zoned in on a book of the Bible and for me already be looking at the God's Word and seeing everything that jumps out at me, it's right in front of me. But let me tell you something, I can point the finger at you all day and I can say, this is exactly what God's Word says and this is exactly what you're supposed to do. But when I point that finger, I've got three pointing back at me. I do. This word that I, just like today when we look about it, let's look at the three main points that I gave you today. And I'm just recapping. I'm speaking from my heart is what I'm doing. But look at what it says. Courage to speak God's words without compromise. Amen. Courage to speak God's truth in the world today. Courage to speak God's truth in love. That's right at me. That's right at me and what I need to be doing. It's amazing how God's Word speaks to us and how we look and see exactly what's happening in God's words. We can see it so much in our own lives when we just take the time and reflect for just a second. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to try to slow it down just a touch. And I'm going to try to let my nerves settle down, and I'm going to try to bring God's Word directly to you so that we can take it and we can apply it to our lives and we can learn from it and we can go out in the world when we leave his house and we can apply it to the people we meet, the people we come across, the people we see, the people we love on this week, the people you visit, the people you call, the people you pass on the road, the people you pass see at Dollar General, the people you see at Walmart, all those people... Point it back to them. Point it back to them just like Jeremiah did. So let's open row up with a word of prayer real quick and say, God, we are so thankful, Lord, for this day that you have given us, God. Now, as we take the next few minutes, Father God, and then we look at your word, I pray, Lord, that you cover this entire place, Lord, with your spirit. I pray, God, that you take that your faith, Lord, rest down on each and every person, Father God, that your spirit does. And Lord, I pray, God, that as we start our weeks for you, that we glorify you, dear Lord. We glorify you in everything we say and everything we do. Thank you, God, for the example that Jeremiah is to us, dear Lord. And I pray, God, that we can just take a little bit away from it. Lord, these things we ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Let's look at Jeremiah 26:1 and let's get kicked off. It says right there, Jeremiah is threatened with death. And he says, 26:1 says, early in the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, 2 says, this is what the Lord says. Stand in the courtyard of the Lord's house, and you speak to all the people of the towns of Judah who come to worship in the house of the Lord. What did we learn about Jeremiah last week? We learned that he was young, right? We hadn't pinpointed down that time, but we were thinking somewhere around the youth age, 17 to 21 or something like that. And I know each and every one of you has been to Walmart, and I want you to think about something for a minute. What if I took a youth in here? What if I took my son, Gil? And I put Gil at the front. You know, you ever been across a Walmart greeter? And I said, Gil, your job today, everybody who comes through here, don't you miss a single person, you tell them all about Jesus. Now, what kind of reception do you think he'd get? To be honest with you, I think he would probably get a pretty warm reception, to be honest with you, especially in our town. Let's say, use Prattville as the example. I think he would get a pretty... I deal with people all day long on a basis, all day long. And there's good ones and bad ones. But I can tell you sometimes, when you smile at them and when you do your point, they usually smile right back. That's true. I treat people just like I would want to be treated. I see Jeremiah doing a lot of that too. He says, this is what the Lord says. You stand in the courtyard of the Lord's house and speak to all the people of the towns of Judah who come to worship in the house of the Lord. You tell them everything I command you and do not omit a single word. Now, we can talk about Gil being at Walmart too, and we can talk about all the nerves, because that kind of brings Jeremiah to life for us, because that would take a lot out of you to stand in something like that, especially with the nerves of anxiousness, the nervousness, everything you feel. But Jeremiah, being a youth, powered right through that, and is what's so good about it. And now I'll ask you this second question. Have you ever just went with the flow in a situation? I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. Have you ever been guilty of going with the flow? Have you ever been somewhere, maybe had an instance backfired when you knew you never should have even been there in the first place? Maybe you just heard a bunch of amens. Tim Atchison nodding his head so big, I think he might have been there last night. I'm not sure. I'm just saying. No, I'm playing, but I couldn't help it. But it's those instances that always backfire. I had to throw some laughter in there. I had to. It's a tough room this morning. It says I knew I shouldn't have been there, but I tell you what, a lot of times when God's led me to where I am today, a lot of times I caught myself going with the flow, and a lot of times I caught myself when I should have not gone with the flow. And I think that's a lot of what God's pointing to Jeremiah today is. He says he's getting them ready because he's asking them, perhaps they will listen to you. Let's look at 1 through 9 together, and I'm going to pick up in 3 is what I'm going to do. It says, perhaps they will listen, and each will turn from their evil ways. Then I will relent and not inflict on them the disaster I was planning because of the evil they have done. Say to them, this is what the Lord says, and if you do not listen to me and follow my law, which I have set before you, and if you do not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent to you again and again, though you have not listened, 6 says, then I will make this house like Shiloh and this city a curse among all the nations of the earth. 7 says, the priests, the prophets, and all the people heard Jeremiah speak these words in the house of the Lord. But as soon as Jeremiah finished telling all the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and said, you must die. Why do you prophesy in the Lord's name that this house will be like Shiloh and this city will be desolate and deserted? And all the people are crowded around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. My second thing that I give you today is to say, to always speak God's truth in the world today, because sometimes it's not as easy as just saying, the instances change. There's a lot of opinions. There's a lot of different things that happen all in this world today that tend to make us shy away is what they tend to do. And when we speak of having the courage to speak God's truth in the world today, I actually think of a time, too, in Acts 23 when Paul stood before the Sanhedrin, and I wrote it down as Acts 23:11. It said, the following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. If you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. And when we did our responsive reading, when we looked at that 1:13, We actually quoted Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, where it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepares for in advance for us to do." You know, when we look at the picture of Jeremiah and we see exactly what he's gone through, and we know that he's young and he's stopped everybody, and they've just threatened to kill him, they've circled him up, I can imagine he must have thought, this is the end. He had to have. It had to have crossed his mind that said, this is all she wrote today. Look at what 10 says right there if we look through 10 through 15. Courage to speak God's truth in the world today. When the officials of Judah heard about these things, they went up from the royal palace to the house of the Lord and took their places at the entrance of the new gate of the Lord's house. 11 says, then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people, this man should be sentenced to death because he has prophesied against this city. You have heard it with your own ears. Then Jeremiah said to all the officials and the people, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city and all the things you have heard. Now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. I want to point out something really important right there that Jeremiah and I actually have in common. 14 says it all. As for me, I'm in your hands. Do whatever you think. When I look at that word right there, he's almost relaxed when he's looking at it. He says, I've done exactly what God has led me to do. I'm walking the walk. I'm talking the talk. I'm doing exactly what he's led me to do. So I'm assured he's got me. Look at what he says right there. 15 says, be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on those who live in it. For in trust the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing. I know that in your time of life, and a lot of y'all are older than me, you felt the Lord lead you to do something. You have. If you walk with Jesus Christ, you have felt him call you to do something. Maybe something you felt led to do. Maybe it could be as simple as going over and checking on a neighbor, whatever the case may be. But when God delivers it to you, you ain't going to rest until you complete it. That's exactly where we see Jeremiah today. He might have been youthful. He might have been young. He might have only been 17 to 21, and he stood up against men. But God gave him the courage to do it. God gave him the courage to speak. He said, my third one says, courage to speak God's truth in love. Look at what 16 through 19 says. Then the officials and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, this man should not be sentenced to death. He has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Some of the elders of the land stepped forward and said to the entire assembly of people, Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah. He told all the people of Judah, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble. The temple hill, a mound overgrown with thickets. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, or anyone else in Judah put him to death? Did not Hezekiah fear the Lord and seek his favor? And did not the Lord relent so that he did not bring the disaster he pronounced against them? We are about to bring a terrible disaster on ourselves. It's amazing how Jeremiah went from being circled up in the courtyard. They fixing to beat him up is what they fixing to do. They fixing to put him down. But he didn't go with the flow. He never did. He stood his ground and he said, God, here I am. Use me and I'm going to tell them. He says, this is what now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Reform your ways and your actions. Obey the Lord. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. As for me, you do whatever you want. That's what he's telling him. So I always speak God's truth in love. Jeremiah was telling them something specific is what he was doing. As for me, I'm in your hands. I saw a story on Facebook this week that really jumped out at me, that I had really taken to heart and had really read through a couple of times. And I don't know the names or anything like that. It was just a story I'd read. And it said a young lady was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and she had met with her pastor to go over final arrangements for her funeral. She was letting him know what scriptures he wanted to use and what songs he wanted to use. As the pastor was getting ready to leave, they had set the arrangements. She had said she had stopped him and said, "There's one more thing I almost forgot. When they lay me in the casket, I want you to put a fork in my right hand." And the pastor looked puzzled and he said, "I can't understand what this would be for, but I'll do your request." And she said, "I want everybody to know that the best is yet to come." So when he had asked, he followed up and he said, "I understand that, but what's the story with the fork?" And she said, "We used to go to dinner, out to dinner a lot of times." And she said, "When the waiters would come and take our plates from us, they would always tell me to get my fork. And I would pick it up and hold it because I knew the best was yet to come." And it was that dessert. It could have been something chocolatey, whatever the case may be. He did that, and he said that after he had done it, he said tears had welled up in his eyes because he knew that young lady had knew more about life than possibly a lot of people did. She knew her time was near, but she knew the best was yet to come. If we look at the Word, if we look at what Jeremiah told them, he's telling them the same thing. "As for me and my house, I'm trying to tell y'all exactly what you need to be. What you need to do, you need to turn back toward Jesus Christ. You need to turn back toward God, excuse me. This was Old Testament, I apologize. But you need to turn back towards God, and you need to seek forgiveness." And that's exactly what he was doing. He was telling them, the best is yet to come. Funny thing, when we look at God's Word, and we can sit there and almost put ourselves in the people's position. I can't tell you how many times I've been when I've thought about opposition or when I've thought about having courage to speak God's words in truth and love and to speak to all the people. Perhaps they will listen, Lord, just like they do every time. It's funny how Jeremiah took the word of God and he told them exactly what the Lord said, verbatim. Word for word, I think each and every one of us need to have that courage to speak in God's truth today. Remember, too, the best is still yet to come. It truly is. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we just love you and we thank you, God, for this wonderful day that you have given us, dear Lord. I pray, God, that as we move on to the next portion, Father God, Lord, you have it, dear Lord. You've got each and every one of us, Father God. Lord, calm my nerves, dear Lord. I am nervous. And Lord, I know that you know that, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that you be with each and every one of us, dear Lord, as we just bring honor and glory to you, Father God. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And these things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. I hope today's message made a little bit of sense to you, that this is such a temporary life that we live right now, because truly the best is yet to come when we think about it. This is so temporary in what we do. Now, maybe you'd like to move your membership today. Maybe you'd like to come pray at the altar. Maybe you'd like to be rebaptized. Maybe you'd like to accept Christ for the first time. I just pray as Miss Kay plays and Miss Leslie leads that you think about those different things, that you think about the courage to speak without God's compromise and the courage to speak in the truth today and you think about God's love and how He has each and every one of us right where He wants us. Go ahead, Miss Leslie. Y'all stand.